The scripture that I wanted to share with you this morning is Psalm 78, verses 1 to 7. I wanted to share this with you because in the past year, it has inspired me in teaching Sunday school on Zoom with Stephanie. And that is what I wanted to share with you this morning. It's not a sermon. It's a story. It's my story. It's your story. But these are the words from God that have inspired me this past year. So I wanted to share them with you this morning. From Psalm 78, "Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a decree in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and rise up and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." All right. Get this here. I feel most comfortable sitting around a table with everybody, but this is good. So, these words from Psalm 78 were written, of course, long ago. They were written to retell the story of the Jewish nation from the time of slavery in Egypt until the reign of King David. This is why they were written. They were written to encourage the Jewish nation to tell over and over and over again these stories to each generation so they would not forget God. So they would not forget God. These words leaped off the page at me. He commanded our ancestors to teach their children. Someone taught me. Many people have taught me. People continue to teach me. I remember my Sunday school teachers and people in this church who were teachers and examples to me from when I was little. I remember. So many things from being a kid I don't remember. My mom will tell me, "Do you remember this or that?" And I don't. But these things I remember. I remember Mr. Johnson and Mrs. Fenton, and I remember Mr. Meadowcroft. And how when I first began to speak here in church and I was terrified and standing up here, my knees were literally shaking to get, Mr. Meadowcroft would sit right there in that 1, 2, 3, third pew and smile at me. It was so encouraging. So Mrs. Rife, I remember Mrs. Rife. So many people, Mrs. Rife gave me a Bible. Now I was older then, not a child, but when my dad died unexpectedly, the next Sunday, she gave me a Bible, and it said, well, I'm sorry, let me back up. When I graduated from high school, she gave me a little Bible, and inside she wrote, "The Father himself loveth thee." And the Sunday after my father died, she said to me, "Well, your earthly father is no longer here, but your heavenly father will take care of you." So simple, such simple words, weren't they? But from her heart, and I took them to heart too. So my whole life in this church, as I grew up, people were telling me about Jesus, giving me books and reading to me and teaching me and encouraging me. And it's still happening. And so this past year for myself and for Stephanie has been a blessing. It has been a surprise. It has been a joy. In ways that we could not have foreseen at all, not at all. It was not easy, but it was not hard either. So since last April, we have been delivering Sunday school and craft material every week to all of our kids. And then we have Sunday school on Zoom on Sunday morning. And this is the story I wanted to tell you today. It's their stories and mine and yours. First of all, I wanted to thank the parents because these parents faithfully signed their kids on Zoom on Sunday morning, made sure it was running, would sit there with them and help them with the craft. They were there. They made the commitment to be there. And I want to thank Linda because last summer we came up with our own Sunday school material idea. And Linda faithfully every week made 15 or 16 or so copies of everything we were using to deliver to all these kids. So we had several classes going. We had classes on Sunday and on Monday. It turned out to be a surprise and amazing. Is being on Zoom as good as being in person? No. But we are thankful for the technology of Zoom because without it, we would have been completely out of touch with these beautiful, precious children for over a year. Completely out of touch with them. So I look at Zoom as a gift. It was a gift. We had some real funny technical glitches in the beginning. Sometimes we lost our sound and Stephanie had to call me on her cell phone, which I would then prop up in front of the computer so we had sound on the phone and we could see each other on the computer screen. So we had some funny things that happened. I had to wind up purchasing a new laptop because I was the Zoom host and my old laptop had no more storage and couldn't update. So I couldn't maintain all of these people on Zoom at the same time. I kept losing them. So it was a real learning experience because when I have problems with my laptop, I call Matthew. That's who I call. And Matthew helped me sign up with Zoom and get started. And so I'm very thankful for all of these people. So let me just share these few very simple, but oh so wonderful things as to what happened. And you will be surprised. Some of you have not seen these children for over a year. And when you see them next week in a year's time, guess what happened? They grew. Yes, so you will be surprised to see. Wait till you see Drake and Dante and, Gracie and Gloria. Wait till you see them. Yes, they have grown, absolutely. Yes, so here's what happened. These are just a very few things. I picked my special things. These would not have happened had we still been here at the church. And so that's why I look upon them as a surprise and a blessing from God. When delivering the Sunday school material, sometimes the kids would be waiting. The very first week I delivered Drake's, I said, I'll be there between 10, 11 and 12. He was waiting on his front porch, on the front porch like this. When I got out of my car, he said, where were you? I said, well, I said I'd be here between 11 and 12. He said, well, next time make me first. Yes, yes, waiting. This is what happened every week. They were waiting for this to arrive, yes. Sometimes I would get there, I got to go into the backyard and swing on the swing set and push kids on the swing set and have wonderful conversations with these little ones. That would never have happened, never. And so I had conversations in the backyard on the swing set. I had conversations on the front porch, sitting on the steps. I learned a lot about these kids and their hearts. I got to know them, really got to know them, and I got to know their parents and grandparents in conversations with them because there was time. That doesn't happen when we're here in the building. We say, hi, how are you, and have short conversations. And so I've gotten to see people's hearts and their backyards, and I've gotten to have conversations, and there's been laughter. And it's been amazing. Here's one of my favorite things. After several months of delivering Sunday school materials, both Stephanie and I, and Justin helped, they looked for us, they waited. And so when you come up the driveway or up their front walk and they come running down the hallway of their house and the door flies open and I hear, Miss Beverly, Miss Beverly, it's Miss Beverly. I'm telling you, I don't get that kind of greeting anywhere else I go. They're just, or Miss Stephanie, same thing. You know, Miss Stephanie's here, Miss Stephanie's here. And they would run, and it was so hard at first because they wanted to hug you. You know, they just wanted to run and up to you and grab you and hug you, and that was hard not to be able to just pick them up and hug them. But, you know, you'd hold the bags out, and they'd take their bag. Each kid got a bag with their stuff in and their name on it. So you'd hand them the bag, and they'd take it, and they wanted to look inside right away. You know, they'd look inside their bag, and what are we going to do tomorrow? And it was just... It does something wonderful to your heart to get a greeting like that. I don't have children of my own. I've never even been married. And so it's still a bit of a surprise to me that God has somehow managed to stuff my life full of kids. Here at church, at camp, there's kids everywhere. I'm still not sure how that all happened, but I'm very thankful that it did. But yeah, having kids come running, shouting your name is quite the lift, I'll tell you. It really lifts your spirits. So no matter what kind of day I was having, that fixed it right there. That fixed it. So, and it just happened last week again. So, yes. We had show and tell on Zoom. We got to see things that we would never have seen because they couldn't have been brought to the church. So when we sign on Zoom on Sunday morning, everyone crowds around, we're all watching, and we got to see new kittens and birthday presents and gifts and things that they found in the backyard. And all of these things got brought to the screen so we could all see them. And it was lovely having that insight into their family and into their home. Okay. Another fun thing was birthdays. We thought, what do we do? So each time a child had a birthday, everybody got a bag packed. We went through a lot of lunch bags. Everybody got a bag packed, and in the bag was a brownie or a treat, balloons, birthday napkin, and the child whose birthday it was got a birthday card. So we would deliver these, and then on Zoom, I had my brownie with the candle in it. And we would get out our balloons and blow them up, and everybody would hold them and wait. We would sing happy birthday, and then they're holding their balloons still. We would sing happy birthday, and I'd have my brownie held up to the screen with the lit candle on it. So first we would sing, and then I'd say, okay, now everybody get ready to blow the candle out. 1, 2, 3, and all of these precious little kids would lean forward and go. And of course I would blow out the candle, but it was real to them. It was real to them. This screen didn't separate us. And then we would let our balloons go at the same time, and they would zoom all around the room. So this was our birthday party celebration. So each of them looked forward to that because they knew that they were going to, you know, that day would be for them, that Sunday for them. So we had a Christmas play on Zoom. We delivered the costumes, everybody dressed up, and we reenacted and told the Christmas story. Again, on Zoom. We did it. Mm-hmm. Some of them didn't want to give up their angel costumes since, again, they liked wearing them at home. So this is what's been happening in the past year. Wonderful, wonderful, precious things. Here's something that I wanted to share with you also. I asked for Jonathan's permission. On Monday night at 6:30, I have the older girls. Now, Stephanie and I on Sunday morning have the younger kids. I have the older girls, like 10, 9, 10, and 11 on Monday at 6:30. And these girls were working out of a regular Bible. They worked hard. The week, Holy Week, before Easter, we studied each part of the story that week, and they worked really hard at it, and they understood it, and they asked incredible questions. Patty Auble helped us learn to journal, Bible journaling, it's called. You draw pictures, you can paste pictures onto a paper, you can write on it, you color it. It's your design. You express how the Bible verse makes you feel, or you design a page to express a Bible verse or a feeling. And these young girls did that. And I'm hoping to bring some of their things here and put them on display for you to see, because some of the things they made are beautiful, the thoughts of their heart. So we spent some wonderful time together, and we had the little ones and the older girls did some wonderful crafts. Thanks to Stephanie, all the crafts were her idea. So we made some really fun things. On Sunday at 12:45, I have Sunday school with Jonathan. Jonathan's 14. And I just want to take just a couple minutes here. I have my notes here from the time we spent together. I asked him what he wanted to do, and he said, I just want to read the stories in the Bible and talk about them. Can we just do that? I don't want a book. I don't want Sunday school material. Can we just read the stories in the Bible and talk about them? And I'm thinking, hallelujah. Yeah. Can we read the Bible together? Yes. Yes. Let's do that. So little did I know. And so we have since January. Here's all my Sundays. I'm not reading them all. I'm just going to pick out a few here. I let him pick the stories. I said, what do you want to? So we bounced back and forth between the Old and New Testament. He wanted to read the story of Joshua and the fall of Jericho. At the end of each hour, I would give Jonathan the last word. I would ask him, what's your overall impression on what we talked about? Just your last thoughts. This is what I wanted to share with you. On the battle and the fall of Jericho with Joshua, Jonathan said, well, God destroyed the evil of Jericho like Jesus destroyed our sin. He said, it's about faith. It's about faith. This is the 14-year-old young man. It's about faith. The story about the friends who brought their friend to see Jesus and had to punch a hole in the roof and drop him down through the roof. Jonathan said, these friends had faith in Jesus for their friend to be healed. The friends had faith in Jesus for their friend to be healed. See, in that story, we don't ever hear about the person who needed healed. We don't hear about his faith. But it was the faith of his friends that got him there. Okay, I learned a lot. I learned a lot. The story where Jesus gathers and blesses the children. I asked Jonathan, what draws you to this story? What drew you to this story to want to study it? His response, the children were pure. I'd like to see Jesus that way too. I'd like to see Jesus that way too. We worked our way through 1 Samuel as Samuel anointed David to be king. David was not the first choice. His brothers were all taller and bigger than him, more impressive looking. But God chose David because the Bible says God looks upon our heart. Jonathan's comment on that was, well, in the world, you know, you have to look good. You have to look good. That's not what God looks at. Yep. We worked our way through. Let me see here. Sorry, I'm just reading right from our notes as we talked. He wanted to read the story of John the Baptist. He wanted to read about John the Baptist. So we did. He was interested to find out that John was from the tribe of Levi, a descendant of Aaron and Abijah, David from the tribe of Judah. We studied these things. Jonathan's comment was, John the Baptist lived his life the way he wanted others to live theirs, to know God. It's true.
Yeah.
Then we worked our way through the story of David being pursued by Saul through the desert, King Saul trying to kill him. Ultimately, Saul was killed, and so was his son Jonathan. David and Jonathan were best friends. David grieved for Jonathan and for Saul, even though Saul had tried to kill him numerous times. And I asked, when we finished that story, it took us several weeks, when I asked Jonathan, you know, what's your comment overall? And Jonathan said, it's possible to forgive someone. It's possible. Yep. Okay. We worked our way through all of the kings of northern and southern Israel and Judah. All the kings of Israel and Judah. All of them. They were wicked. There were a lot of them, and only two of them were considered righteous. He found that astonishing. But we worked our way through. Mm-hmm. And last comment that I have here from Jonathan is when we finished, I ask him this question. All of these kings and people, they failed because they worshiped idols. Each time they would come back to God and then they would start worshiping idols again and everything would fall apart. And I ask him why. Why would these people choose to worship idols when they had a God who had brought them out of Egypt, parted the Red Sea, fed them in the desert, done miracle after miracle after miracle? Why would they go back and worship an idol, you know, something made out of gold or silver? Why? And Jonathan's observation was because it didn't happen to them. This generation now that was serving under these kings weren't the people who came out of Egypt and crossed the desert. It didn't happen to them. And I found that to be a very insightful comment because I applied it to myself and to this today. These things, the creation of the world by our God, the things that God has done, we follow in the Bible, these things didn't happen to us. We're here now reading about them, studying them, learning to follow Jesus. And this is why, and I just use the words from Psalm 78, we need to tell our children about the wonders of our awesome God. Not just how he created the world, and not just how Jesus healed people in the New Testament. When we tell them about his crucifixion and his resurrection, we need to tell them about the wondrous things our God has done. We need to keep telling the story so they know God and know Jesus. Not know about them, but know them. And not just these ancient stories, but our stories today. What God has done for us. I read this. This person said, you know, when I ask you, what has God done for you? You better not tell me something he did 10 years ago. Well, 10 years ago, this is what God did for me. He said, you better be able to tell something that just happened yesterday or this morning. Sure, there's big things, but don't forget the everyday, ordinary, walking around, sleeping, waking up, eating. This God that is a part of our life every day. This God who will help us make future decisions, but because we've learned to trust him. This Jesus who is our Savior and gave all for us because of a love so fierce and forever. These children love stories. They love their Bible to open it and read the stories. The library over there is filled with excellent children's books on helping children get to see the wonder of God and of Jesus. And so if you have your own children, or you have grandchildren now, or great-grandchildren, or neighbors, people with children, recommend the books, take the books, read them, tell them over and over again, always. We tell our kids a lot of stuff, don't we? We give them a lot of things. Of all the things we give our children, all the things, we need to give them Jesus. We need to give them the love and the wonder and the joy and the challenge of following Jesus, of knowing this God. And so I just close with this as my end and my prayer. It has been, I can't even find the words that are big enough to use the privilege and the honor and the joy it has been being with these kids this past year, and how God surprised us over and over again. We lost nothing being on Zoom. We lost nothing. We gained. I'm so thankful. And so these words are burned on my heart. And I hope God gives me many, many more years to spend with these children and young people. So the next generation knows. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of our Lord, His power, His wonder. He commanded our ancestors to teach the children, so the next generation would know, even the children yet to be born. And they in turn would tell their children, then they would put their trust in God and would not forget. Who do you want your children to grow up trusting? Who do we want our children to trust? Yep. Every week, and in this summer to come, I got to spend this time telling these precious little ones and older ones about Jesus. And I didn't take time to mention, I also had Jude and Eli for a while. Their schoolwork was, I can't even think of a word big enough to describe that, Jude. Can you think of one? Your schoolwork was impossible. Is that work? Just about impossible. They had so many challenges. But we studied the book of Philippians. We did Proverbs. We had many good discussions. And we'll have more. We're making plans. Yes, I'm thankful to God. And my prayer is that each of us where God has put us would not be reluctant or hold back in telling and having conversations with our children, little or grown, about our wondrous, powerful, righteous God who loves us fierce and forever, and has a dream for their lives. Some of you, like Jeannie and John, your son's getting married soon. So somewhere in your future, there might be grandkids, you think? Yeah? You know what? Start planning now. Stack up your books on Jesus so you can give them the stories of our God. Yes, it's exciting. So, to you be the glory forever and ever. And right now, today, God, to you be the glory. And let us share by actions, by words, by our stories, books, in the reading, in the telling, in the singing, let us share your glory with our children every day, in every way that we find. You have given us the responsibility. You have commanded us to do this. Let it be a joy. We thank you, Jesus. And now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
and amen.